Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, doing a quick rundown. Next four teams are out, so we have playoff orderings here lining up. And a couple of notable things with some of the draft stuff. So we'll take a look at that as well with some changes to the Rooney Rule this year. So, so the Rams would have the 25th pick in the NFL draft. They traded that to Jacksonville for Jalen Ramsey. So we already talked about some of their positional stuff. This is one of the reasons why I think this job's pretty attractive to Urban Meyer, right? They've got the cap space. They've got the pickup at the draft to get the franchise quarterback to develop. They've got the multiple first-round picks. So they're going to pick three times in the first, 33 spots of the draft. It's pretty enticing. So it's pretty interesting there. So I figure no quarterback here because they'll probably already address that. Probably no running back here, although I do think they have a need. I'm not per se going to say it's that high level. I don't think they're going to take it in day two, for example, but I think addressing it in day three probably makes some sense. Wide receiver, it's a question mark for me, really, in terms of I would guess no, because you have Chark and Chenault and you get some other guys there. But I think, adding depth here, this is a good class. So if you picked up another guy to help your quarterback, kind of go the Andrew Luck development track where you just kind of kept taking guys. They could absolutely use a tight end. Whether that's – it looks like Pat Freiermuth is sort of setting in this range. Is that a Penn State? So I know there's a couple of other guys, too, outside of Kyle Pitts that might attract some first-round attention. So that might be a spot to look for there. And it's a pretty wide-open depth chart as well, so that'd be interesting. Cleveland Browns, they're at 26, had a chance to beat Kansas City, just came up a little short. Would have been an interesting AFC Championship game in Buffalo, that would have been for sure. So, I think they're good at quarterback, they're good at running back. Wide receiver is going to be interesting with Odell Beckham. I've read a couple of things on Beckham, he's someone I want to do a little bit more study on because I was doing some of the advanced efficiency stuff. He's actually like 2 yards per route run, so he's still pretty good. I think a lot of it is his combination in reduction in production has been injury related, and it has been volume related. And it's been headache related. Those three things have really contributed to a drop in his scoring and a drop in his market value. How much of that is fixable, right? And if he's not there, maybe they could look to line up a trade. It's actually pretty doable. He's got a completely cuttable contract. Problem is, it looks like he's probably not going to be able to be physically cleared by the beginning of the year, the beginning of the NFL year. So it's going to be in March. So it looks like they're going to have to carry him over. I think there's some guarantees as well. I covered that in a previous show. That's part of the problem there. So I suspect that he'll be back, but maybe a trade candidate. So be interesting to watch for there. I think he could definitely be attractive to some other teams for sure. Baltimore is and I don't think they have a need at tight end. So the whole wide receiver issue is going to be a thing, and how they go about it. Rashad Higgins, also a free agent as well. Baltimore, Ravens, no at quarterback. No, they're pretty good at running back. Wide receiver could be an interesting spot. I wonder ultimately if the upside is pretty capped in this offense. How much running can you do? Can you win, three – four games in the playoffs with, frankly, a pretty limited Lamar Jackson in terms of a passer. It's funny. I had a debate with someone on Twitter with regards to who Deshaun Watson would be an upgrade for, and it's probably pretty much everybody. There's a couple of teams I think that wouldn't do it. I don't think Buffalo would do it for Josh Allen. I don't think Seattle would do it for Russell Wilson. Obviously Mahomes they're not going to do it. But there might be a couple of more, but like Deshaun, and again, it's trade compensation. I just sort of, would you just straight trade your quarterback for Watson? I'm not saying everyone's going to be in on that, an actual real life trade, but it's one of the it's interesting because you if he went to Baltimore, like you would absolutely trade him for Lamar Jackson. Baltimore would definitely rather have Deshaun Watson, would sort of be my thought. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see sort of what they try and develop. I think they could use additional wide receiver help, and we'll see. We'll go from there. You know, I suspect my guess would be they don't do it, but you know, if they want to try and develop Lamar Jackson some more in the passing game, getting him an additional weapon might help. I think they're pretty good at tight end. Our Saints are really up in the air. You know, Jameis is a free agent. Taysom Hill's under contract. What are they going to do there? You know, there was something being mouthed between Drew Brees and Jameis Winston, basically him saying, this is your team now. It's notable he's not under contract, so you wonder what's there in terms of all that. And I think it's a virtual certainty, just mathematically. And we'll see how some of these situations go. You know, with Pittsburgh, with Indianapolis, you know, Chicago, Washington, you just sort of look down the list, the Patriots, you know, San Francisco, I'm guessing Jimmy G's going to get another shot someplace, but Denver, you know, Carolina, you know, what happens with Philly, you start looking at these places. And again, if you get like a double retirement of Rivers and Roethlisberger, it almost makes it a mathematical certainty that Jameis will have a starting job opportunity just because there's not enough bodies to fill some of these jobs. So you could be pushing 8-9 changes. I'd take the under on that, but I think it's possible that you could push that. And, you know, there's just so many guys, right? Even if it's Dalton, Winston, Mariota, and a bunch of rookies, right? I still think there's going to be an open shot or two. So, you know, even if six rookies started day one, right, there's a scenario where there's going to be still three or so jobs available for you know, retread veterans. So I'd be watching that. Again, one other one I think is notable is potentially the Rams. And I didn't mention them because they didn't, you know, it was Jacksonville. But there was some quizzical statements from Sean McVay about Jared Goff. So I don't know what that whole situation is going to be, but it's going to be something to watch for. And just to round out the Rams, they don't have a need at running back. I don't think they have a need at wide receiver, and they don't have a need at tight end. So I think they're pretty good at those positions, even if Gerald Everett walks. So the Saints, finishing up the Saints, they're good at running back. I do think they could have a need at wide receiver. Michael Thomas has been dropping like an absolute lead balloon in valuation. It looks like he's going to have surgery, and you know, explaining some of that downtick, he basically said, listen, I tried to come back and get Breeze a ring, essentially. And I just, you know, I did everything in my power to do that. And he's pretty limited, right? So people are like, oh, look, he's washed. Like, is that, like, it just doesn't even really pass the smell test in terms of, you know, we know that high ankle injury sucks. And, you know, he's going to have surgery, and, you know, hopefully he's back clean. And again, if it's Jameis, right, there's – listen, I love Drew Brees as much as anyone. You can't tell me that Drew Brees wasn't holding Michael Thomas back. Again, Michael Thomas was injured. But to think that the loss of Drew Brees is going to significantly deter Michael Thomas's production just doesn't really pass the smell test to me. So, again, if he's healthy – I think he's going to be a buying opportunity. I've seen him outside the top 10, you know, bold proclamations. I don't think it's really going to happen. One other thing of note, the rebound rate on these guys is extremely high. So what that means is, and this is an analytics of Dynasty part of the actual book this year, is I went and I looked at prior at ADP. I just wanted to know basically what happened. If you missed, if you hit, and then, you know, if you missed, basically what happens then, right? What if you miss, what happens to your hit odds, right? Do you, your, what I called a rebound rate, right? If you miss, what's your rebound? And, you know, so for wide receivers, first round wide receivers, which Michael Thomas would have been, historically the rebound rate 60% that they hit next year. So, again, just the hit rate in the first 2 years for the position is 93% that they hit. So it's really, really high. So he's actually in the pretty low amount. It's an 84.4% hit rate in round one historically. That is pretty notable in terms of him missing there. Again, it's injury related. So it's a relatively small sample that doesn't hit. You know, once you look out 2 years, basically 94%. So, and the hit rate of guys that have missed in year one that hit in year two is actually 60%. So, 100% starter hit rate in the next 4 years, at least once in the next 4 years, for round one guys. And the double hit rate is 93%. So 94%. So again, it's very, very high, very lucrative. And, you know, I think you're in pretty, good. You feel pretty confident in basically that valuation of him, that historically, even the miss, right, that's not going to go anywhere. So, it would be just my thought on him. I'm not super concerned. I'll just say once you sort of get into the, I do have some ADP changes, and again, I just use an average decline basically of guys in the top 10 rounds just to sort of see, you know, if they hit or if they miss, sort of what happens to their value. You know, guys in their mid 20s, about where he is, it's about 50, 60, 70 spots or so lost ADP. Again, I don't think he's going to do all that, but you're getting to a point where even if he hits, he's going to drop in value. So just know that. But again, that doesn't much concern me, given the arc that he's on. I think it's a market overreaction. So so that's pretty much the Saints. One other thing of note, and I'll probably do a full coaching episode sometime over the next week or so. I want to do some research on some of these guys once we get all the names and everything. Take a look at that. Notably, Brian Daboll staying with Buffalo. So that's a good piece of information there. A new rule with the Rooney rule this year. Pretty interesting. So there's a dual incentive. And I actually think the way they structured this is pretty fascinating. There's a dual incentive. There's an incentive to hire minority coaches and minority front office, so GMs, and I think like lead decision makers. There might have been some assistant GM stuff in there as well, but really it's the first, you know, it's the coach, and there's some coordinator stuff too. There's like different tiers of stuff. It's a little bit confusing. It's one of those things I'll probably need to go kind of lawyerly on it and create like a tree diagram for all these. It's like reading a statute. So I'll have to do that and go through it. I don't think it matters much, for our purposes, outside of to say that if you get hired, you basically get some type of pick benefit. A lot of it's like moving up in the third round, so that's a notable improvement for some of these teams. Again, we'll get that all that information a little bit later on in the process. I'll do a full rookie pick analysis once the compensation picks actually come out. But the thing that we do know is, so Atlanta hired Terry Fontenot, I believe is how you pronounce his name. He was from New Orleans, and he's black, so he qualifies as a minority GM. And the Detroit Lions also hired Brad Holmes. He was with the Rams. The rule there is really interesting. I said the double incentive to hire and to develop. These two guys were hired from basically assistant, you know, in the GM's office. They had different titles. So I think one of them is assistant GM, one of them is like director of player personnel or something like that. But the team that loses them gets a third round pick this year and a third round pick next year. So you get an incentive to hire, but you also get an incentive to develop, which is really interesting. I think that's a really, you know, that's a pretty savvy incentive there to get people to actually, you know, try and hire and develop, and then, you know, these guys become assets and marketable, and that's a pretty interesting benefit there. So so New Orleans will have an extra third, and so will the Rams both this year and next year. So that'll be a notable thing. We'll watch for that. So that'll help. I think that'll help kind of both teams and some of their cap stuff, so especially the Saints. So so that'll pretty much do it for this episode. Again, watching the final week here of the playoffs, then we'll see the Super Bowl a couple weeks out. You can be on the lookout for the book here in the next it's coming out in about 10 days. So I will do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we will talk again very soon.